When you get to the Tower of Babel, it's even worse. It has gotten to the place where they are all worshiping the Tower of Babel and the associated false gods and so forth. So now God says, I'm going to do something totally different. I'm going to start with one man again, and I'm going to bring him out of all that pagan background, and I'm going to bring out of that one man a little nation of people. And through that little nation of people, I am going to work until I can finally come back to the masses and deal with them on the whole, but using that little nation. All right, so he calls out the man Abraham, 2000 B.C., and from Abraham all the way up until we get into the book of Acts, you've seen me do it more than once, Jew only, with some exceptions. Now, I know that he sent Jonah to the city of Nineveh, and you had Rahab the harlot there in Jericho, and you had Ruth the Moabitess, and various other ones. Now, they were Gentiles, and they were exceptions. But all of your Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 12 all the way up into the book of Acts, it's God dealing with Israel, his earthly people. All right, now you're in Genesis chapter 12. We can start right with verse 1. This is the Abrahamic covenant. If you've never heard me teach it before, why, write it in the margin of your Bible. These first three verses are the Abrahamic covenant. Now remember, a covenant in the Old Testament is that which began with God, and mankind has nothing really to do with it except to keep it. But even if he breaks it, that covenant is still valid because it began and ended with God. So all of these Old Testament covenants, even though Israel breaks them and breaks them and breaks them, it does not invalidate them. God is still going to bring them to fruition someday. All right, here's the Abrahamic covenant. And in this covenant are wrapped up several of the others. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, underline that word, land. Because this is the whole problem in the Middle East today, that God has designated the land there on the east end of the Mediterranean as the land of the Abrahamic covenant. All right? Verse 2, I will make thee a great nation. Now, what makes a nation? People. So out of Abraham, God is going to bring about a people who will become a nation. I will bless thee. I'll make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee. Now here comes God's view of the Gentile. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, in that Abrahamic covenant, we have the promise, then, of a nation of people that God is going to put in the geographical area of land, and then you can't have a viable nation unless you have a government. So after he has put them in the land, he's going to someday come and be their king. And so all the way up now through Scripture, from the Old Testament, chapter 12 of Genesis, all the way on up until Christ makes his appearance up here, there's that promise of a Messiah and King, but also a Redeemer, because Israel had to have a spiritual redemption before they could enjoy all the promises of these promised kingdom on earth and so forth. So the only way you can understand all of the workings of the Old Testament is that this Abrahamic covenant, promising, can you still see if I put it here? He's going to promise them to be a nation of people. He's going to put them in a geographical area of land, and then one day he will come and be their king and give them a kingdom on earth. Right there with the capital in Jerusalem. All right, now if you'll follow with me a couple more verses, and then it's already just about break time. Follow me now to chapter 14 in Genesis. Genesis chapter 14. Starting at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the, what's the next word? Land. See that? For all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed forever. And then verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the, what's the next word? Dust of the earth. Now there's your earthly aspect of the nation of Israel. That the seed of Abraham would be as numerous as the dust. Did you lose my voice? Huh? Oh, I lost you in the scripture? I'm sorry, 13. 13. I thought maybe my PA system quit. I'm sorry, 13. See, 14 is staring at me on my page, but I'm sorry, 13. So I can tell my class people are here because they know they can just, they do this every once in a while. Okay, back in chapter 13, verse 14, 15, and 16. Now you got it? Okay, lift up now thine eyes, look northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land, verse 15. All the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it, and unto thy seed forever. Now that's God speaking, not the United Nations. That's God speaking, not Bill Clinton or any other world figure. And if they could only get that through their head. Now here they are trying to get Israel to give back the Golan, give back Jericho, give back Gaza, give back the West Bank. Won't be long, they're going to say, give them Jerusalem. That's what's going to be next. You wait and see. Give the Arabs East Jerusalem. But what has God said? I gave you the land. And we're going to see in a little bit that he deeded it to them, made it official. All right, but now verse 16, I want you to underline the word dust. The offspring of Abraham in the flesh, the nation of Israel, would be as numerous as the dust of the earth, which is earthly. It's of the earth. All right, now then turn with me to chapter 15 and verse 5. Now chapter 15, verse 5. Okay? And he brought him forth. That is, God brings Abram out into the night sky, and he says, look now toward heaven. See? Now you remember what we saw in verse 1? Heaven and earth. And earthly people, a heavenly people. All right, now he's already counted the dust of the earth, referring, of course, to his earthly people, the nation of Israel. But now he says, look at the stars and count them, if thou be able, and so shall thy seed be. My, what do we got? Contradiction? No. Now, those of you who have seen the program, you in Oklahoma are so far beyond, you haven't. Turn with me to Romans 11. Well, I got to do this in 3 minutes. Romans 11. This will be coming on the TV program before too long, because we taped it, I think, about 3 months ago, and they've preempted us so often. But bless your hearts. Gary just gave my TV audience the best compliment I could ever hope to have. We taped, you know, just day before yesterday, and so I was meeting with Gary, the station manager out here. And, of course, he's helping us to try and get on more daily programs this fall, so you can be in prayer about that. In fact, we've got a note in the newsletter. But anyway, Gary said, you know, I know your people hate it when you're preempted. And, of course, it's not really Gary's fault. I think it comes from South Bend. He said, I know your people hate it. But he said, you know what, Les? He said, your people are so kind and sweet. He said, I don't mind picking up one of their phone calls at all. He said, yes, they complain that we preempted you, and he said, it makes them angry that they missed your program. But he said, they're Christian. But he said, we dropped another fellow, and I'm not going to say who it was, and I think it was at my suggestion, because the guy was a false teacher from way out in left field, and I asked him one day, I said, Gary, what are you doing to that guy on your station? Why? I said, man, the fellow is a false teacher. Well, it wasn't long, they pushed him off. But he said, now I know that, he says, we were right, because he said, when his audience calls, he said, they just blister my ears. And he says, what a difference. Now he said, when your people call, yes, they are upset that we've, but he said, they're decent, they're sweet. But he said, these people, he said, they just blister me, they just, well, he said, they're not Christian. Well, I've been sharing it with my class people, so we appreciate that, and I've always said it, that I've got the best people in Oklahoma in my classes. I know that for a fact. Well, anyway, where was I? Romans chapter 11. We've been preempted, so it'll be quite a while before you see it, but it's already been on the satellite, and we've gotten so many comments that they just thoroughly enjoyed my teaching here concerning the grafting in the olive tree. All right, here it is now in Romans 11. Oh, let's see, where can I start? Verse 15. For if the casting away of them, that is the nation of Israel, if the casting away of Israel is the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now, what's he talking about? If casting away the nation of Israel, as happened back there in the book of Acts, and they refused to accept their Messiah, and God raised up the Apostle Paul to now go to the Gentiles, and Israel was sent into a dispersion. Israel lost her covenant relationship, and Israel tonight is an unsaved sinner just like any one of us. They have to be saved exactly like we are. There is now no difference between a Jew and a Gentile. And so that's what Paul is saying. If the casting off of them brought in the reconciliation of the whole world, then what is it going to be like when they're brought back into that place of covenant relationship? It's going to be like bringing someone back from the dead. All right, but now I'll go on. Verse 17. If some of the... Well, I could read verse 16 too, I guess. If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root, now that's the word I want you to catch, if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now the word holy simply means set aside or set apart. All right, now in verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, that is Israel, they were on the root of Abraham, and now the branches have been broken off, they've been set aside, and thou, writing to Gentiles, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and partakest of the what? The root and the fatness of the olive tree. What's going on here? Well, Israel has been enjoying that privileged position of being on the root of their father Abraham. And my, they gloried in it. We are of our father Abraham. Now, where did they put them? Well, in a place of privilege. My, what does Paul say in Romans chapter 3, chapter 2? What advantage then hath the Jew? Well, much every way, but chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles or the word of God. So they had a lot of privilege being upon the root of Abraham. All right, now when the Jew was broken off of that root of Abraham and was dispersed and became no different than another Gentile, a sinner who needs saving grace, who now rests upon that root of Abraham? Well, the Gentile. Not just the saved Gentile, I don't believe, but the whole Gentiledom, the whole population of Gentiles are now in the place of privilege, not by virtue of covenant, but by virtue of grace. You see that? Now then, since the Gentile world is now placed over the root of Abraham and the grace of God is poured out and every Gentile has the opportunity of believing the gospel, you see that? Now we are in the place of privilege. And so we too then become the children of Abraham, not as blood relatives, not as Jews, but because we're enjoying the spiritual root of Abraham, which of course brought about our whole plan of salvation, the coming of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and everything. So now you see, as Gentiles, we are literally feeding off of that root of Abraham. And that's the stars aspect back there in Genesis. That Abraham, being the root of Israel, would have all the offspring of the earthly people, But by virtue of the Messiah, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the Gentile now being placed in that place of privilege, Abraham also then becomes the father of all who believe. And then, of course, when the age of grace is over and our Gentile opportunity is finished and we're out of here, the church has to be taken out, who does God pick up dealing with? The nation of Israel. And so they will be grafted in again. Okay, it's 10:05, and as soon as you've had your break and you're ready to sit down and take some more punishment or whatever you want to call it, why, we'll start up again.